So let us open the scriptures, and today is a very important chapter from the Torah, chapter Noah, rest. It is an exciting and informative chapter from the Torah. Probably the whole world today knows about the man whose name was Noah, the whole world, and what happened to the first civilization that lived on this earth. I believe everybody knows about it. Because of the evil that reigned in their hearts, a great flood came and destroyed every living thing on this earth. It was during the time of Noah. And how one person named Noah, who obeyed the Lord, turned out to be the savior of the continuation of the human race. It would seem that such a terrible lesson should be enough to learn and not repeat past mistakes in the future. Can you imagine the great flood? But humanity is not used to learning. Often people think that a wise person is someone who has a massive amount of knowledge. But in fact, a wise person is someone who can apply knowledge in his life. This is the wise person. It's not about only about the knowledge, but it is about application of this knowledge. Some time ago, we were analyzing the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, in which our Lord Yeshua warns us about the end times. We looked at some of the signs of the second coming of the Lord Yeshua. And if you remember that, if you not, you can read chapter 24, book of Matthew. It's the first book of New Testament, Brit HaDashah. Today I want to talk about what we need to pay attention to today. And to do that, we need to understand what happened in the hearts of the people who lived in the time of Noah. What was happening in their hearts? So let us open Genesis chapter 6, and we will often be going back to Genesis chapter 6. So if you're old schooler, you can have something there. So Genesis 6. So, interesting place of scripture. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Then Adonai saw that the wickedness of humankind was great on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil all the time. Can you imagine? I think you can. The same chapter, verse 11. Now the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God saw the earth, and behold, it was ruined, because all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. It was ruined because of it. Then God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh is coming because before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. Behold, I am about to bring ruin upon them along with the land." It is very difficult words. It's true. It happened. And we know that it happened. So, can you imagine? All that Noah's contemporaries could think about was sin, evil, various perversions, and violence, 24 hours per day, every one of them, except Noah and his family. This is all. It occupied all their thoughts for all their lives. And imagine how a modern man can become corrupted in just 100 years of their lives. Who is 100 years old here? Do we have? You can multiply, yes, our lives. So, but even in 100 years, how can a man can be perverted by evil? If he does evil all the time and constantly thinks about sin all his life, so think how much more perverse and sinful humanity was when people lived for hundreds of years, every day thinking about evil, about sin, about bad things. Therefore, it is a good news. Today, when we complain about difficult times we live in, with so much sin and unrighteousness around, so many perverted people with whom we must live, let's just remember that everyone except his family was corrupt during Noah's time. Everyone. And can you imagine, we are here together. We are the mishpacha, we are the family. We share the same values, the same faith. We can support each other. If it is difficult for us, we can come together and worship the Lord and feel the joy of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mazel tov. During the time of Noah, his congregation was only Noah and his family. And as Cantor Aaron said, thank you, Cantor Aaron, probably his wife wasn't happy all the time. She wasn't good at deacon for him. She was, Noah, what are you doing? Where are you going? Yeah, but yeah, our wives are much better, for sure. Amen. Amen. True. Mine, surely. So, where are you going here? Outside of Noah's family, there was not a single person who could understand Noah and sympathize with his point of view, only him and his family. All the rest of humanity made every effort to prove to God and Noah that they were out of touch. Their values outdated and had zero understanding of contemporary life and times. Is it like today? You are old, you are kind of stupid, because faith is something stupid. Now it's modern time, we are living next era. The same was in the time of Noah, the same things. And in such a difficult time, and please pay attention here, in such a difficult time, the Lord calls Noah to build an ark and be a proclaimer of God's righteousness. In such a difficult time, this is the time to be called by the Lord. When it is a difficult time, it means that you are called by the Lord to be the light. He's calling you in the most difficult times to be the light and the salt to this earth. 2 Peter 2:5, and remember about Genesis chapter 6. Don't forget about it. 2 Peter 2:5. You can open if you want with me. 2 Peter 2:5. He did not spare the ancient world. He preserved only Noah, a proclaimer of righteousness, along with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. So, proclaimer of righteousness. Let's just say a proclaimer of righteousness. What a calling. The Lord commanded Noah to warn the world, to bring the message of salvation and God's justice to humanity. It was his job, his calling, and his task. Therefore, for 99 years, while the ark was being built, Noah did not cease to proclaim truth. No matter how hard it was for him and what it cost him, he built for 99 years the huge ship. We know it as the Noah Ark today. So let's see how Noah was different from others. What made him able to accomplish the salvation of humankind? And we can also see what the Lord is calling us to today, what lessons we can learn for ourselves. So let us open Genesis 5, verse 28 and 29. And remember Genesis 6. So Genesis 5, it is the birth of Noah. Lamech lived 182 years and fathered a son. And he named him Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us from our work and from the pain of our hands because of the ground which Adonai cursed." So, the name Noah. The essence of the name Noah is to comfort us. Let's say together, comfort us. And also, the name Noah can have another meaning, to rest. This is why this Torah portion name rest, Noah, rest. So, in the Bible, a name often reveals the character of the person. his actions and his calling many times. Abraham, you know, many, many names. It is like the idea who he was. So, what we see here. During the time of the greatest madness that took place around him, with everyone was corrupted, Noah was in a state of comfort and rest. He was Noah in the difficult times. I would even say that he was the embodiment of peace and consolation at that time. It is essential to understand the state of Noah's heart, that what was inside him that helped him pass all the trials, achieve the goal of 100 years and save humanity. So, I have a question for us. How it is impossible to rest, to be a Noah, when he worked for 99 years and he did such a difficult job building a massive ship? Is it possible? Quiet here. So I think people think, okay, what to answer right here? The fact is that you can do nothing, sit on your couch all your life, and at the same time be full of anxiety and hopelessness, fears and sins, in your own couch. Or you can spend your life in rugged work, do great things, and at the same time have peace and rest in your heart, and consolation in your heart and your thoughts. Amen and amen. This is true. You can work hard, at the same time have rest in the Lord, have His peace and His shalom. And by the way, I can feel the presence of His shalom in this place. Yeah. So let me explain it to you like this. Let's remember the beautiful commandment from the Bible, Shabbat, the Sabbath rest. It's a beautiful commandment. Do you remember where Shabbat was first mentioned? Oh, thank you. Genesis 2, verse 2 and 3. I know that you're reading the scripture. Thank you so much. Some people tell me that Shabbat, it came from Moses and... okay, let's go. Genesis 2, verse 2 and 3. So here's the Genesis. God completed on the seventh day His work that He made. And He rested. Wow. It reminds me of Noah. The rest of the Lord in the midst of such a troubled time. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he made. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, for on it he ceased from all his work that God created for the purpose of preparing. So the first time the Lord blesses Shabbat was long before the birth of Moses, immediately after the creation of the world. Therefore, the blessing of the Shabbat came long before Abraham, the creation of the Jewish people, and the law of Moses, right after the creation of the world. And the essence of Shabbat is for us to be at rest as the Lord, to come into God's presence in serving the Lord on this day. So, the Lord is here right now. And this is the part of keeping Shabbat, to be in His presence, to serve Him, to worship Him, to give Him glory in your life, to give Him space and place in your busy, busy, busy time. Essence of the Shabbat, Isaiah chapter 58. I love this place because I think it is what Shabbat is. Isaiah 58, verse 13 and verse 14. If you turn, yes, thank you. I can hear the old schoolers. I love this sound. I love this sound. So Isaiah 58, verse 13. If you turn back your foot from Shabbat, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call Shabbat a delight, the holy day of Adonai honorable. If you honor it, not going your own ways, not seeking your own pleasure, not speaking your usual speech, then you will delight yourself in Adonai, and I will let you ride over the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your father Jacob. And the last verse, it's important. For the mouth of Adonai has spoken. It is his promise. It is his blessings. It is like a monument built by the Lord, which reminds us of our need to serve God and commit this day to him. It is a monument for him. It is a joy. It is a spiritual rest, a restoration, and the blessing of fellowship with the Lord. This is why I love to be in this place on Shabbat. I love to be here because the Lord is here. I don't know how about you, but I'm restored here. I don't want to joke here, but it is important to be here, really, to worship. It is time of rest for us. In other words, simply not doing anything or physically resting on this day without serving the Lord is not Shabbat in the biblical sense of this word. The full Shabbat is the time to serve the Lord. It's important to remember. Please remember that in Exodus 35, before Jewish people built the Ark of the Covenant and the Tent of Meeting, the Lord reminded them of Shabbat. It was the first chapter, first verse about Shabbat. It is like a reminder that the Ark of the Covenant is for. It was built so that the sons of Israel could find the rest in God's presence, in his tent of meeting. In the 23rd chapter of the book of Leviticus, when the Lord gives his holy days to Israel, everything begins with Shabbat. Let's say together, Shabbat. But the deep and most profound meaning of the Shabbat is revealed to us by the Messiah Yeshua. And let us open Hebrews chapter 4. And let us read Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 1, Hebrews 4, verse 1. Let us fear then, though a promise of entering his rest is left open, some of you would seem to have fallen short. It was during the time of the author of book of Hebrews. For we who have trusted are entering into that rest. It is just as God has said, so in my wrath I swore, they shall never enter my rest, even though his works were finished since the foundation of the world. And verse 6. So then it remains for some to enter into it. Yet those who formerly had good news proclaimed to them did not enter because of disobedience. Again, God appoints a certain day today, saying through David, after a long time, just as it has been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. Verse 9. So there remains a Shabbat rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered God's rest had also ceased from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one may fall through the same pattern of disobedience. So, make it short. From this passage of the scriptures, we can see that Shabbat tells us about our inner rest, inner peace, about peace with God through faith, and specifically through faith in Yeshua. It turns out that in Israel, there were people who tried to observe some regulation on Shabbat, but did not enter his rest because of unbelief and disobedience to the Lord. So we are entering Shabbat through our faith and trust to the Lord. This is where we can find real meaning of the Shabbat. Just not doing nothing, this is not the Shabbat. But to serve the Lord, to serve the living Yeshua in the Holy Spirit, to be in His presence, to open your heart to His faith and His presence, this is the true meaning of Shabbat. This is time of rest for your soul. Wow, it's strong. Let us read one of my favorite places from our Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah, Matthew chapter 11, 11, 27 through 30. Matthew 11, 27 through 30. And please listen carefully and open your hearts right now. Let the peace of the Lord to flow into your heart, into your mind. Stay upon this word. Matthew 11, 27. What a statement. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. All things. Let us say all things. English is a tricky language. All things. What does it mean, all things? Somebody would like to find another way. Yeah, all it means, not all, but something, but all things. All things. Everything. No one knows the Son except the Father. And here it is. No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. No one knows the Father except the Son, and except those who He chooses to reveal Father. We are blessed because we know Father through Yeshua. And verse 28, receive it by faith. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Hard and burdened, difficult. Come to Yeshua. There's rest for you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The truth is, we live in difficult time, and I can tell you from the scriptures, it will be even more difficult. Even more difficult. But we can do it. We can make it, because we can be in rest, in peace, even in the difficult times. Amen. Here it is, a real God's shalom, a life filled with the meaning and rest that fallen humanity has lost. Shabbat without Yeshua is not Shabbat. Yeshua is the master of the Shabbat. It is important to remember. So, this is the essence of the Bible. And even the name of Noah reminds us of peace, comfort, and rest. And let us go back to Genesis chapter 6 and open two more verses, and we'll finish with these verses. And remember, when we'll read it, Genesis chapter 6, verse 8 and 9. Remember, while the whole world was going crazy and wasting all its strength and time on corruption and sin, the Lord found Himself an unusual man whose name means consolation, rest. So, verse 8 and 9. But Noah found favor in Adonai's eyes. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless among his generation. Noah continually walked with God. So all humanity went into dark side, and he walked with the Lord all days of his life. It turns out that you can work hard for 100 years, build an ark, fulfill the calling of your life, and at the same time not be in the bustle and fear, but be in peace, even there is a storm around, and you can have rest in your heart. Receive this by faith. And this is possible only when you have received grace from the Lord. And this is possible only when you live a righteous and blameless life. And this is possible when you live with the Lord, when you walk with Him. He wasn't perfect. And through faith and trust in the Lord, was he considered righteous. Amen. So our righteousness comes by faith in Yeshua, the Messiah. Righteousness is our position in the spiritual world, the legitimacy of our position. Justification comes only through faith and trust in Yeshua. He is our justification. He paid the price of redemption and justified us, ransomed us from sin and death. Amen. And I really close with the last place of scriptures. Do you know, with me, it's the last place is not always the last place. But I think it's the last place for today. So let us open 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, 1. It is about our days. It is about today. Yeah, let us open together. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. And this is a prophetic picture. And it starts with this very simple idea. But understand this. Let us say together, understand this. So we need to understand something. We need to be aware of something. We need to prepare for something. That in the last days, hard times will come. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, hard-hearted, unforgiving, backbiting, without self-control, brutal, hating what is good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to an outward form of godliness, but denying its power. And the end, very interesting. Avoid these people. Do not build your spiritual life with them. All this should happen, as it is written in the Bible about our days, but integrity and purity are our position in life and conscious choice. Noah walked with the Lord, knew him, spent time with him, even when he was very busy with the building of the ark. He was able to stay focused on his goal. He did not try to prove everything to everyone. He preached the righteousness of God with his life and constantly built the ark of salvation. This is what you and I need, not to be distracted, to live for the Lord and build his ark of salvation. Please accept by faith that the living and resurrected Yeshua is in your hearts. And he is the source of your joy and your rest. Amen. So let us close our service with Aaronic benediction. I would like to invite my wife, Ina. Please join me here on the stage. And please remember this very special magic word, an onek after the service. You're welcome to participate. And in the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel, and you can put your tithes and offerings in the drop box after the service in the lobby. So let us close the service with this prayer. Yevrecha ha Adonai veishmerecha, Yair Adonai panavelecha vichunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha veyasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, his shalom, his rest. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah. Amen. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.